Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
In past weeks in this program, we've studied concerning a very major religion in the world, at least major when measured by the number of those who believe in that religion, the religion of Islam. Today I'd like to begin a study concerning another religion that many people in the world believe in, and that is the religion of Roman Catholicism. To begin our study together, I'd like to consider with you a passage from John 8 and verse 32. The Bible there says, "The truth will make you free." The truth is powerful enough to free and to keep any man from any false religion. I know that because of Romans 1 and verse 16, 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, Galatians 1 verse 13 and 14, and 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. But I also know that knowledge of Scripture is not enough. We must obey those things that Scripture teaches. Acts 6 and verse 7. I believe that there are many Catholics and many others who are trapped in some type of fraudulent religion, but yet are sincere and honest. And some of the things that they believe are very serious errors. And you and I as Christians need to wring out the news in a loving way, but in a forceful way. Ephesians 4, verse 15, Acts 20, verse 26 and 27. I also believe that most religious people have never stopped to investigate the claims of the religious order in which they find themselves. I think that particularly true of the Roman Catholic religion. Most, I would believe, Catholics are in the Roman Church because of the traditions of men. Traditions that are spoken of in Mark the 7th chapter, verse 7 through 9. I believe that many of these sincere and honest people don't know that God's Word is the criterion. They don't realize that the Bible is the rule or the standard in religion for all men, and therefore they don't see the need to search or to study the Bible, as we're taught in John 5 and verse 39, Acts 17 and verse 11, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, and Luke 4, verse 16 and 17. I don't know how many Roman Catholics have ever stopped to think that the Bible says absolutely nothing about the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible doesn't mention or say anything about the Pope as being the head of the Church upon the earth. That's interesting, isn't it? The Roman Catholic Church claims to be the original apostolic church, but I would suggest to you that the Bible and even history reveals that it's apostate and not apostolic. There's a vital difference in the two. Catholicism is a direct result of falling away from the faith. It's even foretold in the Scriptures. The changes surely were gradual. They took place over hundreds of years. The Roman Catholic Church is the oldest of all sects. You can trace its history much farther back into antiquity than the Protestant denominations. But I would tell you that there's one church older than the Roman Church, and that's the New Testament Church, the church about which you read in Romans the 16th chapter and verse 16. The Roman Catholic Church and its order of government cannot be found in the New Testament order. It may be, and it is, in the World Book Encyclopedia, but it's not in the Bible. If you or your friends are members of some man-made religion, I encourage you to examine the Bible. From my experience, man will deceive you religiously. David wrote in Psalms 118 and verse 8, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." This so-called Holy Apostolic Roman Catholic Church is not holy. It's not Catholic. It's not apostolic. And it's not the church that Jesus Christ purchased with His blood, Acts 20, verse 28. Rather, it's a human, man-made, political, ecclesiastical hierarchy, and it lacks all the characteristics of the New Testament church. It's not the church of Christ in any sense, either in whole or in part. After all, the Lord's church began in Jerusalem. It didn't begin in Rome, Acts chapter 2 and Luke chapter 24, verse 47. The purpose in mind with this show and any to follow that deals with this subject is not to degrade any person or persons. It's to expose false views that the Catholic Church leaders teach that are contrary to the teachings of God's Word. And the reason that you, if you're a Catholic, should leave the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church has for years made the claim that it's the only one who properly interprets the Bible. They make the claim that if any other religious group cares to know the meaning of Scripture, it's got to listen to authoritative Roman Catholic leaders because they gave the world the Bible. I want you to notice, if you would, a quote that comes directly from the New Catholic Encyclopedia, page 387, beginning, quote, "The Church existed before the word of the New Testament Scriptures were written. After they were written, the Church determined the canon. Therefore, the Church is the authoritative voice that must be obeyed, for without the Church, we would not have the Bible." Unquote. In setting about to try to prove that point, they start by saying the Scriptures don't assert their own inspiration, that none of the Scriptures asserts its own inspiration is their boastful assertion and far from the truth. If you're talking to a priest, he would say, "How do you know that what you have is the Bible?" They say that the Bible was declared to be inspired by the Roman Catholic Church and that these books in the Bible were not inspired until they declared them to be inspired and that they were not inspired until the 4th century when Jerome translated the Bible. Jerome, in about AD 385, translated the New Testament from Greek into Latin. The Catholics say that Jerome gave us the Bible, and they declare it to be inspired. I ask you to consider the question, does the Bible assert its own inspiration? When you read 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, even in the Catholic Bible, Paul says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's inspired of God, not by the Roman Church, regardless of what they claim. Peter wrote that Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand, 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. But he calls all that Paul wrote Scripture. Paul wrote 14 books in the New Testament, and Peter says that all that Paul wrote was Scripture. Then Paul says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All the New Testament writers finished their work by AD 96. That's when John, the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, laid down the pen of inspiration, having written the book of Revelation, and all of these other men had sealed their testimony with their own blood. You mean to tell me that their writings were uninspired, and that for 400 years we had to wait for some man to declare them to be inspired? The Bible asserts its own inspiration. In John the 20th chapter and verse 30, I find that John wrote that we might believe, quote, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 20, verse 30 and 31. I want to repeat that verse. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Jesus wrote those things that we could believe, and then he declared in John 21 and verse 24 that those things are true. We didn't have to wait for 200 or 300 or 400 years for those things to be true. They were written that we might believe. Then in 2 Peter 1, verse 16 and 17, even in the Catholic Bible, Peter says that he was an eyewitness of what he wrote. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 20, when he talked to the apostles and spoke to Peter also, quote, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it," unquote. It was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who spoke through Peter. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the apostles were gathered together in one place with one accord, there came from heaven as the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As they spoke, the Spirit gave them utterance. Then the Catholics have the audacity to tell us that that wasn't inspired until later, when some man 300 or 400 years in the future declared it to be inspired. The Bible certainly asserts its own inspiration, and no man made it inspired. The writers of the Bible spoke by the Spirit of God. Now listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. This is found even in the Catholic Bible. He says, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God." Then the Catholics go out here. Before the world, they say, the Bible was not inspired until we declared it to be inspired. We gave you the Bible. No, they didn't give us the Bible. We are independent of the Roman Catholic Church for the Bible. How do I know that? Well, it's a well-known fact that the first translations of the New Testament were from Old Syriac scriptures, which were very closely represented the language that Jesus spoke. Then came at an early date translations in the Egyptian and the Ethiopian and the Gothic versions of the Bible. And as the bishops of the Gothic tribes, about 350, dealt with these translations, it pointed toward the close of the 4th century. The old Latin versions were found to be so full of errors of early and imperfect scholarship that Eusebius, better known to Catholics as St. Jerome, was chosen to prepare a Latin version. And that's what's known today as the Vulgate. I'm talking about the Latin version, which was declared by one of the popes to be the perfect version. It's just a translation. Let us now see that there are as many things involved in their claim that they gave us the Bible. Did they give us the Bible? Absolutely not. What did they give the world? They gave the world a Latin translation. Now, a man by the name of Jerome, who was not a Catholic in any sense that we know Catholics to be today, even though he was an apostate, certainly from the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, the New Testament church, he presented a translation of the Bible in Latin. He took the Greek and he translated it to Latin, and the Catholics say he gave us the Bible. They didn't give us the Bible. They just gave us a translation. What about those disputed books? They say that they have some books in their Bible that we don't have in ours, and they do. And every book that they have in their Bible that's not in ours is what they call the Old Testament. Well, Christianity is a New Testament religion, isn't it? Every disputed book, every book that they have in their Bible that's not in ours is in their Old Testament. Then may I suggest this also, that Jerome, who translated the Vulgate upon which they depend so much, rejected those disputed books. Then too, Old Testament was completed 400 years before Christ. Then Christ was on the earth, the Old Testament was here in its fullness. The Jews had it as we now have it. the Jews rejected those disputed books. They were not in the Old Testament, not the Old Testament that Jesus used. They were rejected by Jerome. In the first New Testament, there were 263 direct quotations from the Old Testament, and not one time did the New Testament writers quote from the books that the Catholics have in their Bible that we don't. There are 370 allusions to the Old Testament scriptures, and not once did the New Testament writers allude to those disputed books. Further, the Maccabees were not put in the Catholic Bible until the 16th century. We're independent of the Catholic Church for our Bible. The disputed books were not in the book used by the Jews. They were rejected by Jerome, who translated the Latin version that they call perfect. From this, we can certainly see that the argument given by the Roman Catholic Church that they gave the world the Bible is nothing more than heresy. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the two sources of revelation today are the Bible and traditions. Notice, if you would, this quote from one of their own books. It is affirmed that the Bible, sacred tradition, and the teaching authority of the Roman Catholic Church are so linked and joined together that one cannot stand without the other. That's right. They teach, the Catholics teach, that the scriptures and traditions are that which stand together and cannot stand separately. But God said scripture, and God doesn't need any help from any man nor the Roman Catholic Church to keep man, and his word alone is all self-sufficient. Oh, the depth and the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of God, or who hath been his counselor? Romans 11, verse 33 and 34. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. The message which was once delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 18 of his own will, and how that begat with the word of truth, not by the traditions of any. Notice what Paul said about the greatness of the word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. The Roman Catholic Church is making exactly the same mistake that the Pharisees made. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Mark 7 and verse 9. The Catholics love to think of men above that which is written. That's a violation of Scripture. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. The Catholics would love to change the truth into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever? Romans 1 verse 25. Please notice what God said about these people. And they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works or words and fair speeches deceive their hearts of the simple. Romans 16, verse 18. many Catholics there are that have been deceived by the hierarchy of that church, the hierarchy that says that traditions are as good as God's Word. But I want you to notice and to be sure that you understand that God thinks traditions of men are not His Word. And He said to them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Luke 16 and verse 15. The Roman Catholic Church claims that the Church is the authority and not God's Word. They permit its members to do certain things that God's Word prohibits. For example, on stealing, here's what they teach. What are the causes that excuse a person when stealing? One, extreme necessity, they say. When a person makes only what is necessary and doesn't thereby reduce to the same necessity the person whose property he takes. Secret compensation, they say. On condition that the debt is so canceled to be certain that the creditor cannot recover his property by any other means, and he take, as far as possible, things of the same kind as he has been given. That's in their Manual of Christian Doctrine, page 153 and page 297. The Catholics then teach that stealing is authorized, that theft is excused. Quote, "As to each repeated theft, that depends again on the intention of the culprit, and if the course of his pilferings he has made, he is no longer averts to his first purpose, and has no intention of stealing beyond that of helping himself to a little of his neighbor's good, he is guilty of nothing more than venial sin." That's what the Catholics teach. They make a difference in sin, saying that venial sin is lesser sin, that one cannot lose his soul for that sin. But a mortal sin is a deadly sin that one will lose his soul for. It may be that they don't know what sin is, do you think? Whosoever, the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. The law of Christ says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he might be able to give to those that need." Ephesians 4, verse 28. Therefore, insofar as the Bible is concerned, stealing on any level is sin. And if sin is not repented of, the person will be lost. Regardless of what Catholicism said, Jesus said, "If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come." John 8, verse 21. And Jesus, my friend, is in heaven. Acts 1, verse 9, 10, and 11. I'd like to consider in the next lesson some more things that the Catholic Church say is okay, that the Bible says is not okay. Certain things that the Catholics say you can do that the Bible says you can't do. Certain things that the Catholics justify that the Bible condemned. I appreciate you listening to this program. If you're interested in what the Bible teaches, we invite you to come and visit us at any of our assemblies. We assemble together at 9:30 on Sunday morning for Bible study and then worship service. We assemble again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings and then again on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. If you're interested in what the Bible has to say, you're always welcome at the Monte Vista Church of Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.